weaned at 2 years old. Yolanda's Alzheimer was entered into a monastery. His parents, he was the only child of his parents, and they made, as it were, him as an offering to God, which is a tradition that existed in these times among the pious people. And after 51 years of struggle, he became a priest monk, and he was well known as a spiritual father. And at the age of 53, he fell into a temptation called pray less in the church. And he began to think that he was perfect in everything and needed no instruction from anyone. And he said, saying to himself mentally, "Is there a monk on earth who can be of use to me and show me a kind of asceticism that I have not accomplished? Is there a man to be found in the desert who has surpassed me?" Now, hear these words, and you know that although he may have accomplished tremendous things, and he had crowds of people coming to him for his prayers and his guidance as a spiritual father, he himself fell into this sin of pride, and he exalted himself. And on the other hand, God recognized all of the struggles that he had endured, and the sacrifice that he had made throughout these many years. And he sent an angel, and the angel appeared to him and said, "Zosimus, valiantly have you struggled, far as this is within the power of man. But there is no man who has attained perfection. Before you lie unknown struggles greater than those you have already accomplished, that you may know that there are many ways that lead to salvation. Leave your native land like the renowned patriarch Abraham and go to the monastery by the river Jordan." And so here he is, one monastery, and he has this tremendous temptation of pride, and the angel comes to him and said to go to the monastery in the River Jordan. What's fascinating about the monastery in the River Jordan is we don't know what monastery it was, and we don't know its name. And so as Zosimus traveled to the monastery in the River Jordan, God led him to that place, and the abbot greeted him and said, "Where do you come from, brother? Why have you come to us for?" And Zosimus replied, "I have come, Father, seeking spiritual profit, for I have heard great things about your skill in leading souls to God." "Brother," the abbot said to him, "only God can heal the infirmity of the soul. May he teach you and us his divine ways." And what's interesting about this statement of the elder Zosimus is I don't think he realizes at this point the difficulty he's fallen into through pride. And here the abbot greets him as a brother and tells him that God can heal all infirmity. And the abbot obviously saw into his soul, and he knew that he had a remarkable struggle ahead of him. And it was a struggle against death conveying pride. And so the monastery on the Jordan had an unusual and remarkable Lenten rule, which is why the elder was brought there. On Forgiveness Sunday, the priest celebrated the divine liturgy and all partook of the holy body and blood of Christ. And after the liturgy, they went into the refectory and we'd eat a little Lenten food, and then all gathered in the church, and the elders kissed one another and asked forgiveness. And then the gates of the monastery were thrown open, and all went out into the desert and crossed the River Jordan. And so after crossing the Jordan, they all scattered far and wide in the wide desert in different directions. And this was the rule of life they had, in which they all observed neither to talk to one another nor to know how each one lived. And so they spent the 40 days of the fast in the desert, in isolation. And came back on Palm Sunday. And so it was this way. They spent the whole fast, returned 5:21, the elder of Zosimus met St. Mary of Egypt in the desert. And St. Mary knew Zosimus' name, and that he was a priest. And so there's this woman in the desert. She's actually in the middle of the desert, and one of the details that I think it's in the full life is that he actually walked every day. He went, so it's 40 days in the desert, so he spent 20 days going into the depths of the desert, knowing that he needed 20 days to get back. So he's really deep into the desert, and he met St. Mary. And St. Mary knew about the monastery he lived in. And when Mary prayed, she was elevated off the floor of the desert. And when she spoke, were the words of Holy Scripture. So can you imagine, he's there in the middle of the desert, and he meets this woman who presented herself, actually, with virtually no clothes on, because she had been in the desert for all those years, and everything she had was just rags and thread hanging on her body. And she's praying before him, and she rises up off the ground, off the desert floor. And the words that she speaks were words from Holy Scripture. That means that God revealed Holy Scripture to her without books. And she said to him, "I am ashamed, Abba, to speak to you of my disgraceful life. Forgive me for God's sake, but as you have already seen my naked body, I shall likewise lay bare before you my work, so that you may know with what shame and obscenity my soul is filled. I was not running away out of vanity, as you thought. What have I to be proud of? I who was the chosen vessel of the devil. When I start my story, you will run from me, as from a snake, for your ears will not be able to bear the vileness of my actions. But I shall tell you all without hiding anything, only imploring you, first of all, to pray unceasingly for me, so that I may find mercy on the day of judgment." And so St. Mary was actually born in Egypt, and she was baptized as a child. When she was 12 years old, she told the elder Zosimus, she left home and renounced the love of her parents and went to Alexandria. And she spent 17 years living a life of debauchery in Alexandria, and was brought by the Holy Spirit to Jerusalem in repentance. And so it is, she said, "One summer I saw a large crowd of Libyans." And so this is after this life. There's not much detail in her life, but it was a life of harlotry. And it was even said that she even said at one point that she gave her body in sinfulness, not for money, just but for her own pleasure. And so after these 17 years, she decides that she wants to go to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage. And so one summer I saw a large cloud of Libyans and Egyptians running towards the sea. And I asked one of them, "Where are these men hurrying to?" And he replied, "They are going to Jerusalem for the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross, which takes place in a few days." I said to him, "Will they take me with them if I wish to go?" And he said, "No one will hinder you if you have money to pay for the journey and for food." And I said to him, shamelessly, to tell you the truth, I have no money, neither have I food. And he said to him, but I shall go with them and shall be aboard. And then they shall feed me whether they want to or not. I have a body; they shall take it instead of pay for the journey." And I was suddenly filled with a desire to go, to have more lovers who could satisfy my passion. I told you, Abba Zosimus, not to force me to tell you about my disgrace. God is my witness. I am afraid of defiling you in the very air of my words. And so she went to Jerusalem. And cross came, and she went and approached the church, and was unable to enter the doors. Crowds of people were entering in, and she was blocked. And she was blocked by an invisible force. And she pushed and she tried, and she couldn't get through the doors. And so she says, I alone seem to remain unaccepted by the church. It was as if there was a detachment of soldiers standing there to oppose my entrance. And having repeated my attempt 3 or 4 times, I began to understand the reason why I was prevented from being admitted. You see the life-giving cross. The word of salvation gently touched the eyes of my heart and revealed to me that it was my unclean life which barred the entrance to me. And I began to weep and lament and beat my breast to sigh from the depths of my heart. And so I stood weeping when I saw above me the icon of the Most Holy Mother of God. And turning to her, my bodily spiritual eyes, I said, O Lady, Mother of God, who gave birth in the flesh to God the Word, I know, oh how well I know, that it is no honor or praise to thee when one so impure and depraved as I look upon thy icon, O ever-Virgin Mary, who didst keep the body and the soul in purity, and rightly do I aspire hatred and disgust before thy Virgin purity. But I have heard that God, who was born of thee, became a man, and man on purpose to call sinners to repentance. Then help me, for I have no other help. Order the entrance of the church to be open to me. Allow me to see the venerable tree on which he who was born of thee suffered in the flesh, and on which he shed his holy raw blood for the redemption of sinners and for me, the unworthy as I am. And then she continued, be my faithful witness before the Son that I will never again defile my body by impurity or fornication. But as soon as I have seen the tree of the cross, I will renounce the world and its temptations, and will go wherever thou wilt lead me. And I went again and mingled with the crowd that was pushing its way into the temple. And no one seemed to thwart me, and no one hindered my entrance to the church. I was possessed with trembling and was almost delirious, having gone as far as the doors which I could not reach before, as if the same force which had hindered me cleared the way for me, and I now entered the church without difficulty and found myself within the holy place. And so it was, I saw the life-giving cross. I saw too the mysteries of God and how the Lord accepts repentance. Throwing myself on the ground, I worshipped that holy earth and kissed it with trembling. Then I came out of the church and went to her who had promised to be my security, to the place where I had sealed my vow. And bending my knees before the Virgin Mother of God, I addressed her in such words as these. O loving Lady, thou hast shown me thy great love for all men. Glory to God, who receives repentance of the sinner. Through thee, what more can I recollect or say? I, who am sinful. It is time for me, O Lady, to fulfill my vow according to thy witness. Now lead me by the hand along the path of repentance. And at these words I heard a voice from on high. If you cross the Jordan, you will find glorious rest. Hearing his voice and having faith that it was for me, I cried to Mother God, O Lady, do not forsake me. With these words, I left the porch of the church and set off on my journey. And as I was leaving the church, a stranger glanced at me and gave me 3 coins, saying, Sister, take these and St. John the Baptist, which stood on the banks of the Jordan. And after praying in the temple, I went down to the Jordan and rinsed my face and hands in its holy waters. I partook of a holy life-giving mysteries in the church of the forerunner, and ate half of one of my loaves. Then after drinking some water from Jordan, I lay down and passed the night on the ground. In the morning I found a small boat and crossed to the opposite bank. I again prayed to Our Lady to lead me whither she wished. Then I found myself in this desert, and since then, up to this very day, I am restrained from all, keeping away from people and running away from everyone. And I live years clinging to my God, who serves, who saves all who turn to Him, from faint-heartedness and from storms. And then she continued on, speaking to Abba, says, believe me, Abba, 17 years I passed in this desert, fighting the wild beasts of my mad desires and passions. When I was about to take the food, I began to regret the meat of the flesh which I had so much of in Egypt. I regretted not having wine which I loved so much, for while here I had not even water. The mad desire for profligate songs also entered me and confused me greatly, edging me on to sing satanic songs which I had once learned. And when such desires entered me, I struck myself on the breast and reminded myself of the vow I had made when going into the desert. In my thoughts, I returned to the icon of the Mother of God and she received me, and to her I cried in prayer. I implore her to chase away the thoughts to which my miserable soul is succumbing. And after weeping for long and beating my breast, I at last saw the light which seemed to shine on me from everywhere. And after the violent storm, a lasting calm came upon me. And how can I tell you about the thoughts which urge me on to fornication? How can I express them to you, Abba? A fire was kindled in my miserable heart, which seemed to burn me up completely and to awake in me a thirst for foreign graces. As soon as this craving came to me, I flung myself on the earth and watered with my tears as if I saw before me my witness, who had appeared to me in my disobedience, and who seemed to threaten punishment for the crime. And I did not rise from the ground. Sometimes I lay thus prostrate for a day and a night, until a calm and sweet light descended and enlightened me, and chased away the thoughts that possessed me. But always I turned to the eyes of my mind to my protectors, asking her to extend help to one who was sinking fast in the waves of the desert. And thus I lived for 17 years among constant dangers. And since then, until now, the Mother of God helps me in everything and leads me, as it were, by the hand. What's interesting is she lived the life of the watcher in Alexandria for 17 years. And here she is in the desert, repenting, and for 17 years. And after finishing the loaves I had, of which I spoke, I am fed and clothed by the all-powerful word of God, the Lord of all. And I'll read this a second time. After finishing the loaves I had, of which I spoke, I am fed and clothed by the all-powerful word of God, the Lord of all. And this is an amazing statement, that the word of God is so powerful. And you think the Lord became incarnate. But even in the desert, where the suffering heat and dryness and the lack of nourishment and so on, that God provided for her and fed her and clothed her with the all-powerful word of God, the Lord of all. The illness also is hearing that Mary quoted words of Scripture from Moses and Job, asked Mary, and so, have you read Psalms in other books? And Mary answered, believe me, I have not seen a human face ever since I crossed the Jordan, except yours today. I have not seen a beast or a living being ever since I came into the desert. I never learned from books. I have never even heard anyone who sang and read from them. But the Word of God, which is alive and active by itself, teaches a man knowledge. Another incredibly powerful and beautiful statement. Namely, that the Word of God teaches us. And so, in her case, she didn't have the books. In our case, we have the books, and we need to dwell upon the Word of God. Even if we read passages and we just don't understand, you can read them the second time, you can read them the third time, and dwell upon the Word of God, which has the ability to enlighten us and to encircle us with His love and His light. Next year, during Lent, St. Mary speaking to the elders of Sunday says, next year during Lent, do not cross the Jordan. And at sunset, the holy day of the Last Supper, put some of the life-giving body and blood of Christ into a holy vessel and bring it and wait for me on the banks of the Jordan, adjoining the inhabited parts of the land, so that I can come and partake of the life-giving mystery. And so, so it turns out that at the time that the monastery was supposed to, that all the fathers were supposed to go to the desert, the eldest Osman became sick, and he couldn't leave. He had to stay in the monastery. So the eldest Osman was held back by illness. He lay in fear, and then remembered what the saint had said to him. Even if you wish to depart, you will not be able to do so. And so Father Osman remained in the monastery, prayed, he would once again see Mary. Grant me, O Lord, to behold that which you have allowed me to behold. Do not let me depart in vain, being the burden of my sins. Then he thought, how will she cross the Jordan? And then another thought struck him. And what if she does come? There is no boat. How will she cross and come to me? And as he thought, she would not be able to cross the Jordan. He saw that she had made the sign of the cross over the waters, and then she at once stepped on the waters and began to walk across the surface. In awe at seeing St. Mary cross the Jordan, he answered her trembling from confusion and overcome at the sight of the miracle. Truly, God did not lie when he promised that when we purify ourselves, we shall be like him. Glory to thee, Christ our God, who has shown thee through this thy slave how far away I stand from perfection. And this, of course, is a very, very important statement, because remember, the elders also thought there was no one who had developed more than he had in the spiritual life. And here he's talking to this woman who was a harlot, and through repentance became sanctified, and he just realizes that she has a holiness that he never was able to achieve. Now, St. Zosimus has administered Holy Communion. St. Mary prayed in the words of St. Simeon the Receiver. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, O Lord, according to thy word. My eyes have seen thy salvation. And St. Mary said to the elder, forgive me, Abba, for asking you, but fulfill another wish of mine. Go now to the monastery and let God's grace guard you. And next year, come again to the same place where I first met you. Come for God's sake, for you shall again see me, for such is the will of God. And what happened is that he went into the desert and found her where he had first met her, lying on the ground, and with the words inscribed in this sand, instructing him to bury her in this place. And so it is, we have this unbelievable life of St. Mary of Egypt. So the Abbess Osmond went to bury her on the spot and to return dust to dust. And also thought it's time to do as she wished. And how am I to dig the grave? Nothing but hands. And suddenly a lion appeared, and in a peaceful and loving manner, very unquiet characteristic of lions, and dug the grave, and she was buried in nothing. So the reason I think read these excerpts is because I think that many of us don't really hear the light of the Savior. And we need to hear the light of the Savior because it has hope. It has the most remarkable hope that you could ever ask for. St. Mary had reached the depth of self-degradation and really opposition to everything that God stands for. And yet, somehow or other, our good Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ, looked into her heart, and he saw the capacity for repentance. And what is amazing, she left Alexandria and went to Jerusalem and paid her way with sinfulness. Now think about this. God was leading her, and yet she paid her way with sinfulness. And this is almost, how can one process this? It's such a contradiction. But it's not a contradiction, because our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ comes to us, and he sees us as we are. And if we turn our heart and mind toward him, he will find a way to bring us to salvation, to repentance, which is, of course, the very theme of Great and Holy Lent, that we turn to him, and that we enter into deep, heartfelt repentance of heart, in mind, soul, and our whole body, that we can behold the mysteries. And what is the mystery? The mystery is the light of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, which shines most perfectly and most fully during the great feast, the feast of Holy Week, and Week to Holy Paschal, and the night of Paschal. The church is not only lit by candles, but it is illuminated with the light of Christ. And that light of Christ can penetrate our hearts and minds and transform us and lead us to salvation. And may this be true for each and every one of us on this great and holy Paschal, that we are led to repentance, to full and complete repentance, the cleansing of our souls, and that we may see the glory of God. And if we cannot see it with our eyes, that we know with our heart and our mind that he has embraced us and holds us close to himself. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.